When the whole world seems turned upside down, we sort through it together. Weekends with Jason Olborn on today's News Talk TNT.
And welcome back to Weekends. My guest this hour is one of TNT's favourites, and I promise you, you might just get one or two chuckles in the first 2 minutes, and then we'll keep going from there. But we are going to look at the news of the week as it comes out of the US. And the further you move towards California, the crazier it seems to get. Going to cover off on the alternate electors now being gone through grand jury indictments. Donald Trump once again being labelled as the worst man in the universe, as an unindicted co-conspirator. Heaven forbid that you'd ever want to challenge an election. And now we're learning that CNN just today has told us that and Politico have also termed the 1960 alternate electors and are starting to erase what they once said there because it doesn't suit the narrative. And that goes all the way back to the JFK election, 1960. Quite extraordinary what's really going on. Let me tell you a bit about Mike Netter. I'll bring him in. And if you can't tell the difference between Mike and Groucho, it's not an age thing. It's just that he's in the zone and in the moment. And that's exactly what we need here on our Sunday and his Saturday evening. Mike Netter is the vice chair of Rebuild California and KABC radio host. He's a veteran of distribution, sales and marketing, now applying his business expertise to state politics to create a powerful team, volunteers and allied organizations to further the cause of conservatism in the state of California. Mike helped spearhead the effort to recall Gavin Newsom, and you can follow him at X at Netter Mike or visit his website, rebuildcalifornia.com. Mike Netter, thanks for joining me on your Saturday night all the way from California.
Jason, it's a great pleasure to be here tonight. I'm glad we're covering the 1960 election. We're catching up.
You know, that's exactly what we need to do to be able to go back and show that, hey, this is not an unprecedented situation. The alternate electors, it's just such an extraordinary thing that if you are from the left of politics, all memory has now been officially erased. You must have amnesia and you must believe everything that we say to you. Doesn't matter what we say.
Well, I say this quite often. I think one of the challenges that the media has, and let's be clear in media, there's opinion pieces and there's supposed to be journalism, and they like to make the decision for us. The challenge the media has, which we tend to call the mainstream today, is that they kind of want to not present the facts, but every piece has become an opinion fact. The reality is what's happening today and why TNT exists, why I exist on KABC radio, probably hopefully why I exist to begin with, Jason, is that most of the public really doesn't care. I mean, you don't run into people on the street and they go, man, did you? Well, you know what they do talk about? What the news was last week? O.J. Simpson died. Because that trial is something that people actually got involved in. It was the trial of the century. The reality is most people don't know what an elector is, okay? They don't have a very brief knowledge of the Electoral College. They're concerned about maybe how I'm going to feed my family, why the gas in California is $7 a gallon, and why there's crime on the streets. And we are concerned a little bit with protests because the mainstream puts it in our face. So isn't it very strange that exactly as there's protest, we'll talk about that later on in this hour, whether you like it or not, is as these protests come out, they decide to issue these press conferences against this hideous, hideous group of criminals. And I feel it's my civic duty to name some of the criminals, for example, that have been charged in the so-called electoral fraud. Okay. Now, Arizona retracted the names, but I was surprised at a couple things in the Michigan indictments. And Jason, I got to ask you quite bluntly, did you read them closely?
Not as close as you. I don't know any of the names of these people that have been who've been charged.
Well, I was shocked with a couple things. One, out of 16 charged, they found 11 of them actually older than me. So we have incredibly hideous criminals that should not be walking the street, like Kathy Bearden, who's 70 years old. Okay, I'm reading from this list because I was just appalled to see that Kathy Bearden is still walking the streets. We have John Haggard, 82, of Charlevoix, who I was just appalled, frankly, is still alive. These are not kind of people that we want walking the streets. And I'm not going to go over the entire list. Have no fear, TNT producers. But the one that really stuck me was Rose Brooke. Rose Brooke is 81 years old, and she's from Pawpaw, Michigan. And I've got to agree with that one, because anybody who lives in a town called Pawpaw certainly should be indicted for something. This is the group of people that they are telling us can rig. This is like the movie Cocoon in reverse. Seriously, like 16 really old people got together and they're going to take down the United States. And what's, hold on, hold that thought, Jason. You let the rat in the building, which is me. So I'm on to it. Okay. And now, 3 years later, they have caught this band of atrocious people. Actually, 4 years later, the election was in 2020, and finally in Michigan, charged them with apparently something that no one, to be blunt, is quite sure what is, okay? So, and I'm saying that not facetiously, because what they did, forging documents, when they did, etc., let's be really clear how an election system works. We have an election. Allegedly, we now started a month before, because like baseball, we need a warm-up period, and we mail in ballots. And then if you're in California, you take about 40 days to sit there and look at the ballots and decide who's going to vote for what. Well, I shouldn't say that. Well, maybe they do. And then 30 days after that, 32 working days, actually, they certify an election. So many of the presidential and even certify till 3 months afterwards. So many of these people are actually being charged. Are you ready for this, Jason? For a crime which hadn't been committed yet. And I really want you to think that's why most of these charges don't go through. The reality is the election isn't certified until January 6th. They're charging these people with fraud for something which hasn't been done yet. And when you talk about lawfare, it's kind of what's happening like with Donald Trump in this civil suit right now. Let's get your arms around this real quick. It's kind of like reparations a bit. Donald Trump in lawfare was charged with, and it's hard for me to keep this straight, with defrauding people who never claimed to be defrauded, for paying back loans that nobody ever complained weren't being paid back at the agreed upon terms that he agreed to pay them back to, for property that was never debated or went into foreclosure. In other words, Jason, the most hideous of American crimes, no one was harmed. Yes, indeed, Donald Trump was indicted in one of the biggest civil suits in American history because nothing happened. Look at this, I mean, that is really what it comes down to. So when you talk about blatant lawfare, you talk about these electors in Arizona and Michigan and this hideous group, most people who are beyond 20 years qualifying for Social Security and Medicare, okay? These are the people that were charged and outing to put in the press. And for everybody who's watching TNT, this is my fourth or fifth appearance this week, you may say he looks a little brighter than normal. I don't mean mentally, of course. I mean from my picture. And that's because I feel my time is coming, and I wanted to practice with my interrogation light, Jason, and make sure I had it handy. Because they have about 79 more million people to go who voted for Donald Trump that they're going to try to indict on something. That seems to be what the left is trying to do. And in fact, if you saw the headline AP, they said these charges are going to deter anybody else from committing election fraud. In other words, making the decision ahead of time before it even went to court. Back to you, Jason.
Well, that is interesting, isn't it? Because if we look forward to any attempts to stop Donald Trump retaking the Oval Office, they're going to have to wipe out millions of voters who would like to get their revenge, and many more that don't want to vote for Joe Biden anymore, and citing that man is so old that even the alternate electors are the only people that... see, if Joe Biden can't get charged here, this is the point, Mike, because he's frail, according to Robert Hugh, maybe these alternate electors have got that as their defence as well.
Okay, I'm going to go down a slight rabbit hole because if you saw the video this week, you did see the video of Joe Biden reading the teleprompter, right?
Oh, yes.
Okay, so for everyone out there, in case you didn't, because of course the mainstream press wouldn't pan on TV, this is the President of the United States, who, by the way, I understand many people don't do interviews, they're not used to them. Joe Biden has been doing this his entire life. I move my light just a little so I go into the dark where I belong. He's reading the teleprompter to a crowd 4 more years. Pause. And of course, that's in meaning he's supposed to pause. Joe read pause. Now, the really sad part is Joe, he did it twice. You would have think that some part, this is like Tony Bennett was going, had Alzheimer's, he knew how to sing. He had done this his entire life. Joe Biden looked there twice and repeated the word pause. And the only thing I could figure is that the medical insurance for his handlers must have skyrocketed after he did that. It's funny, but it's not, because he's in charge of the entire country. So why Joe Biden, our 80 whatever, 87-year-old president of the United States, is reciting pause, another crew of probably more people coherent than Joe Biden are getting charged with election fraud in Michigan and Arizona. And we should be talking about Arizona, these charges too. Whenever you're ready, Jason, I'm going to give you a chance to come in.
Well, I think that with that introduction, I can't go past. Let's talk straight now about Arizona and the charges that are coming there, because the timing of it is just perfect, of course, that Arizona and Michigan can go off at the same time.
Well, what's interesting about Arizona is one, and if you have to understand how, first off, even the Supreme Court said this week, it's the old term, a grand jury would indict on sandwich, okay? There's not much you're getting indictment from a grand jury. But normally when you're indicted in front of a grand jury, who get the cases shoved in front of them, it's a random group of citizens. If people say, I'm pleading the fifth, they don't are bothered to put in front of the grand jury. It's kind of a waste of time, right? Because they bring you in and you sit there, let me do my invitation to me testifying. Okay, that's it. They don't say anything. So for some reason, the grand jury decided to bring in, even though these people said, our attorneys have advised us to plead the fifth, because you're probably going to charge us anyway. And they brought them in to say, I plead the fifth, which meant, I mean, for everybody out there, not that they're drinking one, though many of you may be after this segment. It is Saturday night here in California, and I do understand, especially if you're down in Tennessee. But the reality is, there's no reason to bring them in unless you're trying to pump it up for the press. What's even worse is that Katie Hobbs, who was, the governor general, she's been a number of people, and people in Arizona who are state elected officials had said, when we indict these people, and by the way, they said this on public record. This was not recorded in a secret conversation. They said this in front of reporters, that if we indict these people, since they're probably not going to get fair trial in Arizona. You know what that means, Jason? These
Explain.
cases are getting tossed. They're hyperbole. In other words, there's simply like none of these cases. And I think you sent me ahead of time the long list where this has happened since 1960. I would like to say it may be exciting reading, but in fact, the whole thing, I probably dozed off on a Saturday night before going through here. The cases of Schmuck versus Schmuck in the 1964, no one really cares. The reality is, the only reason this has been reported versus everything else going on today in the news, because they don't have to report Biden going, pause, which in itself is just its own. I mean, it's like watching Saturday Night Live going, damn, Biden got a night job at NBC. Oh, it's the real president. Literally, when you watch some of these, but the reality is what's happening in America today, these stories make headlines that allow them to burn room on their page about things that the average American doesn't care about. And you're not going to meet any average American. I doubt you'll meet any average Australian in any country around the world. And they're going to grab you by the collar and say, my God, I missed the news today. How the heck are those How are those electoral indictments coming? They're not. The only people that care about is the press reporting on itself so they can make the illusion that possibly they're doing something to protect democracy as they undermine the very system of free speech that we have.
It is exactly how we're seeing it play out around the world. And it's interesting, isn't it? If everyone were to ignore what was going on, would anyone care or count? And exactly right here, the average person in the street doesn't seem to be paying attention to any of this nuance or detail at all, and perhaps just realizing that the only thing that does count is the price of fuel and food that goes on the table, and the price of rent, which is an extraordinary situation for so many people. Just today on social media, there was an ad that was a sponsored ad from a real estate company in Queensland, the state north of where I am. It was on the highway. It was a two-bedroom unit. It couldn't have been any bigger than 600 square feet or 60 square meters. It's a tiny two-bedroom. The beds literally touch the walls, and they're only asking $795 a week rent for just unbelievable. How does anyone afford to live literally inside?
Well, we call that in California a bargain. Jason, I got to be honest, it's Saturday night, 90 to break, and I think it's time TNT took one too.
Well, I'm so glad that you brought that up. It's exactly what I'm going to do now. So Mike's going to take his break. I'm going to read you something and come back to you in just a moment. Do you have a suggestion for a possible guest that you would like to hear on TNT? Or perhaps you have a topic you feel we should discuss that we want to hear from you, simply complete the suggestion form on the TNT website. Help us make a difference on today's news talk, TNT.
TNT's Alex Zaharoff-Royd.
One of the things that AI lets you accomplish in your business and personal life in a faster and more efficient way on your desktop than you could before when you only had to do it through the cloud.
I think about what we do on a day-to-day basis, right? So as a salesperson, I'm creating emails to send out to customers to talk to them about how we'd love to do business with them, how we'd like to engage. And so one of the things that I've started to use is using AI to formulate, you know, emails and help start, instead of starting with a blank page. For me personally, I struggle with a blank page. I like to have something to build around. And so, you know, using a large language model has helped me be more efficient in my work life and create content and create things more quickly that I can then get out to market and work with my customers.
Talking Tech with Alex Zaharoff-Royd on today's News Talk, TNT. A better business tip from TNT Radio. The benefits of advertising on today's News Talk, TNT Radio, should be clear to businesses of any shape or size. It can be accessed anywhere, anytime, by anybody, and is the perfect way to build brand awareness and stimulate digital activity. If you'd like more information about advertising on TNT Radio, simply fill out your details on our contact page and we'll be in touch. To find out more, go to tntradio.live. Unbiased information.
Honest and forthright.
News without the misinformation.
It doesn't matter what side you're from. What matters is what you say, the truthfulness behind it.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Welcome back to Weekends. My guest this hour from California, seemingly needing some form of dessert, but we got him anyway, all the way on the evening of Saturday. Mike Netter is joining me. We've got plenty to discuss. Mike, straight back to you. Protests around the world, they're happening right in your own neck of the woods. What's going on and how are you perceiving it?
Well, let's talk about frames a little bit here. When we say around the world, really the big one I want to talk about is America. Now, this may be strikingly strange to everybody, but yes, when I was young, they still had colleges, right? We had colleges and we went to them, and it was very rare that most students would get engaged with anything that didn't have to do with members of the opposite sex, beer or sports. Those were the three things that really ticked me off, Jason. Let's be very clear about that. And the other thing is that the protests did take place in the 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s. But let's stop and frame this for a second. And the reason I wanted to bring this up is because they can't ignore that the protests are taking place. But it's very strange to me that here we are in May, going back to the story that you opened the hour with, right? And all of a sudden, they say, well, why don't we announce, these outdoor things? That'll be pretty cool. What about the couple thousand students that are rioting, taking over buildings? Well, no, this is a really good time in May for a November election for something that happened 4 years ago to announce this story. And you're like, very bizarre. It's like they time to release these, so some of us who pay attention will look over here. What's fascinating to me on a couple fronts is this, and I caught on to this on my Twitter feed, at NetterMike, where I am putting out a 3-time-a-week newsletter, Jason, and I'll be looking to see that you subscribe, because it is free, and I know you have that kind of money. at least I hope most of my people do. We're actually having a pretty good couple weeks of that. We're drilling down on some of these stories, but here's the reality of it. Most protests take place the 60s against racial happenings, if you will, okay? Happen because a segment of the population is experiencing something, right? Within their segment, they want to protest against it. Now, here's a fascinating trivia figure, a couple things here, being a math guy and a sales body, I looked up this week. Jason, Palestinian Americans, okay, you would think they're all over very upset about their relatives in Gaza. You know how many Palestinian Americans there are in the United States, people that have actually come from that area? Take a guess. One half of 1%, 140,000 of them. In other words, not enough really to fill 2 football stadiums in the U.S. So it's not these people giving an uprising, it's students giving uprising, allegedly, we're going to get to that, okay, who have never, there are people starving in Africa, Syria, there's a reason I'm bringing that up, has gassed their own people, Iran is arresting women, okay, when there's 44 million of them in their country. And they're all of a sudden very upset about the Gaza Strip. Struck me as a bit strange. Struck a lot of people as a bit strange. And then I started looking at these protests. And I want to go on about this because this is the part where we have to dig deeper. Why is a huge chunk of the population upset about this? Now, you probably know the answer to this question, Jason, because you're a fairly smart guy. When you have me on your show, I'm giving you some credit. And what did you notice looking at Colombia, Texas, Florida, California? What did you notice about all these protests in common?
Tell me. I didn't see it.
All the tents were the same.
Oh, yes. You're right. Of course
they
were.
Very bizarre. And I actually, when I looked at that and put up tweets on that, all the signs were the same, with the same emblem on them. Mm. Now, I'll admit, in my younger days, I could indeed run a really good keg party at San Diego State. There were no cameras back then, so you'll have to take my word for it. But I could organize 80 people. I was really good at that. But how do you organize random campuses with all the same colors, and by the way, taking place in a matter of days? Literally, same tents, same signs popping up, which, by the way, is kind of an affront to the homeless, because the homeless could use those tents, but let's put that down for a second. All the same brand coming out there. And then you really start to see who the quotes are from. And this is worth digging into with a little bit of time. And they're not from the students. Some of the students, you see them walking by going, hey, dude, I got finals, right? I'd like to see the GPA of the students out there protesting during finals. My guess, it's below the norm. It was from people like, Youth for Palestine and all these other groups. And when you track those groups, and you could track them, I have a secret source. I tell you that all the time. Are you ready? You're not going to tell anybody, with all the listeners, Wikipedia, because you can Google these groups, and you find that these groups, that their roots are in Syria and Iran, and that actually these groups, who apparently are funding these protests, because again, where are the tents coming from? Where are the signs coming from? Where's the food coming from? Where's the infrastructure coming from? The chants are the same nationwide, right? And the quotes are not from the students, they're from groups. They're coming from literally terrorist groups who you think the students, if they were intelligent, I guess that's an oxymoron. If the students were intelligent, let's assume some of the intelligent students were protesting, okay? We'll go, hey, you people are funded by the Syrian government and George Soros, we'll get to that, who gassed their own people in 2013. And I literally want to know where Me Too is. Because they're funded by, and I'm sounding facetious, but I'm not. Because Iran literally today is arresting women. And I'm going to be blunt, Jason. Don't throw me off your show. I like women. Okay. And to have them arrested for pulling things off their head, dragged off, to see what Hamas did to the women of Israel, you'd think these students would be protesting against that. But they're not. And you wonder how many people out there are students. And then you see that people are complaining that some of them are getting arrested by nonviolent acts. And then you hear about January 6th, which you've heard about. Well, some of these students are literally on state property. They are actually broken into government property, government schools, state-owned schools, and the press is going, why don't we talk about these indictments for electors that you've never heard of? Dig deeper, who is funding this and causing this? That's the part which we really need a little bit more mainstream journalism paying attention to it, which they aren't, which is why we need explosive TNT radio.
Well, thank you for saying that. When you look across, therefore, and the consolidation or the grouping, the planning, the infrastructure of these particular protests, it's not dissimilar to what we saw earlier when there was rallies and pallets of bricks just happened to end up in certain areas. And that's happened on a couple of occasions. And of course, the fact checkers were out there informing us that it couldn't possibly be Open Society's funding this. But you don't need very much to be able to separate what's going on. Is this therefore linked back to Open Society's foundation and the Soros camp?
Absolutely. I want to go on record and say I'm always one step behind the curve. After I saw the bricks, right? I went out and bought a brick distributor, and now they've gone to tents. And so right now I am trying to negotiate for a tent company. But I just don't have the foresight ahead of time to see what they're going to buy. But I'm working on it, Jason. I'm trying to think, what could they use? It's directly linked back to Soros. In 2019 or so, it's hard to keep track, Soros funded the Palestine, blah, 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 with about $700,000, okay, directly into it. It's the same groups. The money's easily traceable if somebody would pay attention, okay? I will hand it to Soros. And by the way, Soros is the oldest guy on this list. So we're literally spending most of the show talking about people that don't have long to go. Joe Biden, these poor electors, me, for example. So the reality is, okay, it's not these people, it's the groups they formed around them, which have become their legacy. And Soros sat in the shadows for a number of years. You know, he was a Nazi, right? And assisted, and everybody does. And just the fact he was a Nazi should tell you he's a little bit aged. So he certainly passed it on to his son. And what we have to do, our duty, and start breaking the backs of these organizations, which are funding illegal activity. The BLM, the disruption in the street. The goal of Hamas, and this has been said quite often, may have not been to disrupt Israel. The goal of Hamas, the actual people, meant to disrupt the Allied powers, as we used to call them back in the day, and the United States, knowing that they would provoke Israel. The actual people who did it are the hell out of there. They've got, which is another thing on a serious note, no one's talking about the hostages. Okay, there are still about 199 or 210 people left. They released a couple films on them. One man had his, I think, his arm amputated, and we used to film on him. I did a story about that the other day. How about protesting for the rights of these people, of which a chunk of them are Americans? Where's America standing up for its own people? But we're not. We're apparently standing up for the Gaza Strip when people don't know what's going on, ignoring the fact that most of this is probably being funded by somebody else that's outside the sphere of government, where the government itself is spending their time indicting people, probably most of who need a walker and a wheelchair, with all due deference to these people.
Well, that's 2 points I want to bring up there. One is, for those that aren't aware, there's a video that you can still get on YouTube on 60 Minutes where George Soros is interviewed, and he explains what Mike's referring to there when we say that Soros is a Nazi. This is a man who admits to being a capo. And a capo was somebody in the war, a Jewish person who would work for the Nazis, kind of like an enforcer or a policeman, but his job was to subdue other Jewish people at that stage. And Soros openly admits that that he's proud of that work that he did effectively for his own survival. It's just an astonishing thing. The other point I want to make there, Mike, is the point about almost like reverse racism. For somebody to protest in that situation and to realize that there are Americans in Israel still being held there as hostages, but to not care or to not protest for that person simply because they're Jewish people, that has to be a form of the worst kind of racism, to hate on your own American in that situation. That's something that really, really gets under my skin, because it's so particular in the sense that, oh, we can claim racism when it suits us, but when we do it, we ignore it.
It's become selective racism. The point I'm trying to bring up is this. People have literally said, kill the Jews. A student in Columbia who kind of tried to apologize for it said, I'm going to literally kill the Jews, kill Zionists. There are signs that being held them. Is absolutely disgusting. The part which is getting lost in this a lot are the women that were raped in Israel. Okay. What is to be done in Iran to women. But the challenge we seem to have, the way the press has decided we should define racism, is simply, if you are a person of a certain color and you're white and you speak up on something, they're going to try to pin you on it. One thing I do agree with the left on.
Oh no, they're going to throw me off the show.
People should be treated with respect and equal. Okay, fair enough. But the challenge is that the pendulum has now swung where BLM, which was so corrupt an organization that Bernie Madoff probably should have taken lessons from them. I mean, they literally scammed like $100 million in record time, throwing people in jail, you know, as you put, buying pallets of bricks. And by the way, and that was really upsetting to me. If you're going to steal as much money as the BLM people did, could you at least buy active bricks? I mean, they bought the most hideous looking bricks ever. Probably was a profit center for them, but let's put that down. That's not reported on, is it? Because this was against people of the press, and the white liberals have decided that we should speak up against. Did you see this week what happened down in Atlanta, I believe, at the University of Georgia?
I'm
with the professor. The professor gets it. No. Okay. I'm not trying to show you up, Jason. I'm not following what's happening in Australia either, to make you feel fair. You can trick me with a kangaroo question.
I don't even follow college basketball, so how am I following college professors? But keep going.
So this college professor was arrested for, you know, participating with the students by the police. She is being yelling as the police have her in handcuffs, and she is being arrested for assault on a police officer. Got it? So the people in this other trials in Arizona were smart enough to plead the fifth. She's on camera saying, I just gave the officer a light tap on the head to get his attention. And you're like, You know you're being arrested for assaulting a police officer, and a light tap on the head is considered assault, and you don't give... This is, by the way, one of the professors. Now, I'm going to let you guess who that professor was. She was a white liberal woman standing up for the people in Gaza by showing her students that it's okay to give a police officer a light tap on the head to get their attention. She did get their attention. Good news, she was successful. Bad news is she's been arrested on a felony, and the stupidity of it all, and they're educating our people, is she's screaming into the camera what she did. This is literally, but she's going to get a pass, not because she's black, not because she's a Jew, not because she's anything, but simply a white liberal that fits the narrative of the limousine liberal. We've lost who the oppressed people really are. That woman screaming on camera, who is a well-paid, she's actually chair of the Department of Philosophy or Department of Idiots or Departments of something. She's probably pretty well-paid, $500,000 a year at a major university. But now it's become about her. Mm. It's not become about the women in Iran. And Iran has 88 million people or so, and about 48% of them are women who are severely oppressed. Where's the outrage? Name of my show on Friday night, by the way, for a quick plug on KABC. There's a reason I call it outrage. Where's the outrage about the hostages? Where's the outrage about the 11 million people in Haiti who have been taken over by gangs 632 miles off the coast of the United States? They wrote stories on it. It's kind of faded from the news a little bit. Where's the outrage about the millions of people flowing in to the country illegally, trafficking drugs, committing crimes, doing things that shouldn't be done? Where's the outrage about the budget of California being $73 billion under? But they want to focus it. This is what Soros does very well. He focuses on things that he knows the idiots in the press will pick up. And you know what Soros, the latest thing he did with the media, didn't you? Are we up for a break or do I have time?
No, well, you can throw it in, then we'll go to a quick break. Or we can actually, you know what? Let's take that break now and we'll come back with the update there from George Soros.
It's really important to understand where Soros is going. In the meantime, I'd like to advertise my aging vitamins. Oh, wait, never mind. It's your segment.
We'll do all of that after the break. Don't go anywhere. You're watching Weekends here on TNT.
Hi. I'm your retirement fear, but don't be scared. You're still in pre-retirement.
Pre-retirement? Does that mean I have more time to plan?
Precisely. Here, this is pre-retirement.org. Huh.
Retirement savings options? Oh. Potential tax breaks?
Yep. Boo.
Oh, I could build up savings for my side hustle. This isn't scary. I'm doing it.
You got this.
Visit thisispretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan.
There are 16 million children struggling with hunger in America. That's 1 in 5 daughters, sons, neighbors, and classmates who don't know where their next meal is coming from. Yet billions of pounds of good food go to waste every year. It's time we do something about it. Feeding America is a nationwide network of food banks that helps provide meals to millions of kids and families in need. Visit feedingamerica.org to help them feed even more. Together, we can solve hunger. Together, we're feeding America.
Weekends with Jason Olborn on today's News Talk, TNT.
Welcome back to Weekends. My guest this hour in full flight is Mike Netter. Mike, before we get on to the second part of your comments about Soros, can you tell us how we can subscribe to your new newsletter?
Well, I would use a keyboard, Jason, because that's a lot easier. Because if you send it to me by U.S. mail, I may not get it. What you should do is this. Go to my Twitter feed, at NetterMike, and I'm going to put up on my Twitter feed. It's up there quite often. I'm actually going to pin it. It's Netter News. And what I'm doing, and this is interesting, and a quick side hole here, because this is how I know what people are paying attention to. It isn't just me rambling in a dark room. Well, it is sometimes, Jason, but then they give me my medication and let me out on nights like tonight. I get somewhere between 200,000 to 500,000 views a day on my tweet feed, okay, or X feed. And what I do, I look at the stories that people are interested in. Because a lot, this electric story that we're talking about here, yes, it will get 10,000 views. It's a good story for us to talk about that are doing. But when I put up a story last week that simply showed the price of gas in California next to the price of Arizona, which literally for many people is 5 miles from each other, and Arizona's $3 and California was $7, 80,000 views. That's what the average person is interested in.
Yep.
That's how I kind of gauge what I talk about my radio shows. So thanks for the quick plug. I guess I'm not going to get to my aging drug. Well, look at me. It's not working well anyway. What the hell? It's worth a shot. Back to buy and try to buy a brick company. It's called Netter News. We put it out 3 times a week, and it's based on stories, other ones that we put in there, trying to collect a lot of what isn't being talked about. We've actually had a pretty fantastic first couple of weeks going out to about 100,000 people, so that's not bad for launching a newsletter from a little old guy until they indict me. But let's go back to Soros, way bigger plans than my newsletter. Now, out there to understand, there's 3 or 4 major radio chains in the United States. One of them is called Audacy, which looks like it's spelled Audacity. They own CBS Radio. You know about this, or maybe you don't, okay? They're actually the second biggest iHeart, and they went into bankruptcy about 3 months ago. George Soros offered to buy them out of bankruptcy for $400 million or become a major investor in it. And his price for doing that wasn't just the $400 million, but he wanted to bypass the FTC, Federal Trade Commission, for you, those of you playing along at home, where he has to go under scrutiny. So George Soros would have owned about 40% of all the radio stations and about 40% what we call share of ear in the United States. And he still may. So I really want you to think about, when you talk about the media, that should not be allowed to happen. Neutral media has gone away, and the left is literally going to buy the media. In the case of Soros, which we know he's a Nazi by his own admission. We know by his own admission who he funds. Much of the public is against it, but the majority of the public don't know who owns the radio stations. Got it? This is the part which is very, very scary for us out there, because for the average American, they're to start saying on radio that the price of gas must be someone's fault, not what you think, someone's fault, not what you think, someone's fault, not what you think, over and over. And as we know, that's how they build communism, not with facts, just repeat a lie over and over again. But you have a couple other things you want to talk about before our 60 minutes expires.
Well, thanks, Mike. I did want to ask you about what your reaction was with the Harvey Weinstein overturning of his case. And of course, it's only in one conviction. He still remains in prison for a conviction he got in California for 16 years. But it seems that the only ones making anything out of this are the other lawyers. The Me Too movement seems to be completely distracted by this particular case. And there's just not enough going on there, is there?
That's exactly why I brought up earlier, where is the Me Too movement? I'm going to try to be serious here, which is very difficult for me, as you know, Jason, but I'm going to give it the college try. The rights of women are violated and have been throughout history. The rights of a lot of people. I have Jewish heritage. The rights of a lot of us have been violated throughout history. The rights of women are violated around the world, and we're just done in the story that we open with, okay? Period, end of sentence. It seems like the Me Too movement, though, was started by some rich actresses who were scorned, who were the liberal media, and got Weinstein put in jail. Where's their outrage now? In fact, I want to, it's nice for them to stand up on that abortion thing and talk about that. But where is this group now? And it's funny because as BLM formed a false organization, as Soros has funded, if you will, this organization of, you know, protests throughout America, very well organized. What really affects half of us, because half of us are women, half of us are men, and a slightly small percentage isn't sure, let's put it there, okay, but it's a tiny percentage. It affects us. Where is this movement? Where's this movement when they heard what happened to the Jews in Israel, the women that were raped? Where is that? And you would think, wouldn't you think, there would be some storming at the courthouse when Weinstein conviction was overturned. Mm. But they maybe got their revenge. And again, what it shows is this. It's not a movement of the masses. It's a movement of the media, because some people, and maybe rightfully so, wanted to get revenge and wanted the limelight. And you know, of course, who one of the people testifying against him in California was, didn't you? Gavin Newsom's wife. And she elected not to remain anonymous. Shocking. And she runs something on the side. Shocking. Which is a nonprofit. Shocking. Which is funded by California government to make films and documentaries that many schools are forced to buy because her husband happens to be the governor of California. Corruption in plain sight. Defending the rights of others hidden under the table. That's what annoys me most about Harvey Weinstein.
It's just extraordinary.
Back to you, Jason.
It's just extraordinary when you look at the whole Diddy story. You know, the whole rap industry is now in turmoil over the revelations that seem to be seeping out there, and now people are pointing and saying, "Well, this doesn't just occur in Hollywood; just doesn't just occur in the music industry," and start looking at the sports as well. What's going on here? So we have this strange underbelly of permitted corruption. And only sometimes we're allowed to see a little bit more. In this case, it was just that a small group of actresses literally came out in the Weinstein situation, but it all just goes away as quickly as anything else.
What doesn't go away is this. Human trafficking, abuse of underage kids. The Democrats fight the laws that we're trying to put forward in California. Human trafficking is a major problem, okay? If you're fortunate enough, and I mean that with very facetiously, to get abused by somebody famous like a Bill Clinton, a Dee Dee Clooms, or Harvey Weinstein, you might be able to get something out of it. But the majority of people in the world, the tens of millions of women and children that are trafficked across our border, that are abused, killed, murdered, raped, drugged, are the people that supposedly the left is trying to defend. They don't get publicity at all. And every time in California, we try to pass a law that seems so logical, and there's not time to go into depth here, they stop us with criminal justice started by George Soros, because those people that commit those atrocious crimes were brought up bad themselves, so, you know, they got issues. The reality is this. Those people who were abused by Harvey Weinstein, V.D. Kuhns, Jeffrey Epstein, right? The ex-presidents, blah, 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 Bill Gates. Those are names we know. It's kind of like the unknown soldier. The majority of people don't have a voice, and the Democrats don't want them to get a voice, and the press finds it very cool to put these names forth in the paper because we go, oh, I kind of heard him. That's interesting. In the meantime, the mechanism of government, which is why I exist at Rebuild California, getting my plugs in, okay, and why I rant and rave on KABC radio, is to say you have to understand in simplistic terms. You can do something about it, but stop going to that shiny object that the press has told you what you should think. The pieces are no longer entitled opinion. They're like, here's the article. Communism is taking a page, is literally China's trying to learn from us how bad it is right now. And then you want to talk about one other thing, I think, which is an offspring of a dead president. Is that correct?
Well, I think I wanted to get your comments here because many people are trying to work out, where does RFK Jr. fit into this presidential campaign? Is he going to take votes off Joe Biden? Is he going to take votes off Donald Trump? Well, Donald Trump's come out punching. He says a vote for Jr., meaning RFK Jr., would essentially be a wasted protest vote that could swing either way, but would only swing against the Democrats. If Republicans knew the true story about Jr., he's totally anti-gun, an extreme environmentalist who makes the Green New scammers look conservative, a big-time taxer, an open border advocate, an anti-military vet. I mean, these are big words. What do you think Trump's going at here?
I think what Trump's going at here, and this is going to be shocking, this is shocking for all the politician, and it's a word I'm actually very ashamed to use in the media today, the truth. Trump's just telling it like it is, okay? He's not sitting, this is the problem for both sides with Donald Trump, including the Rhino Republicans. He just tells it like he's absolutely right, okay? Kennedy is all those things. But the person, like, what's her name? Sheridan, whatever the heck her name is, he picked as the VP. Kennedy picked as the VP, okay? It's going to steal liberal votes. Trump's right. Okay, the Kennedy's anti-vaccine or pro-choice, if I can use that term, in terms of the vaccine, right? And that's where he may steal some votes away from Donald Trump. But then most people don't explore who Kennedy is. They just know the name Kennedy. Again, it's brand identity politics. He will probably indeed hurt the Democrats more, but then it's kind of like the Democrats are doing enough damage on their own, which, going back to our original subject of the hour, if you will, why they have to do everything that they can to try to take Donald Trump down. And it is an amazingly bad nightmare. It is kind of like the old Godzilla movie. You start off with the Groucho Marx thing about the same time Godzilla came out. And that's Donald Trump to the Democrats. Like, wait, we're going to indict him. And you don't watch much American news, probably. This is American news today, left and right. Hi, today there was a protest in Colombia, and now Trump, and now some weather. Let's come back to Trump. Joe Biden is president. And now the sports, Trump. And thank you for watching, because basically they can't stop themselves. And the more that they try to do lawfare, warfare, labfare against Donald Trump, the more it wakes up most of America to know what they already know, that in their everyday lives, something is wrong. And that's where Donald Trump gets it. I've met Donald Trump. I've seen him speak. I've seen him live. I've seen them all speak. He hits at the core of what we care about, which is our kids in school. And my pitch at the end here, rebuildcalifornia.com. Send us a buck or two if you can, because let me tell you something. If you don't defend California, we're going to ship you more Kamala Harris's, more Gavin Newsom's. KABC on Friday nights and other nights. Outrage is my face show, 7 to 8. at Netter Mike on Twitter. Look for my newsletter. Do what you can to stand with logic that will help you defend not only, I'm not just going to say conservatism, but just out and out logic. And that will help the world. Jason, back to you. I'm Mike Netter. I look forward to being back again if you have me. And now it's cake time for me.
How about that? That's kind of like interviewing Robin Williams. You literally say hello and you say goodbye with a thank you in between. Mike Netter, what a terrific chat once again. Thanks for joining me today. Off to enjoy the rest of your Saturday evening. We will take a quick break and we'll be back with a whole lot more on the other side as we return to Australia to examine who Australia's enemies are on a military level with David Archibald. Don't go anywhere. You're watching and listening to Weekends with Jason Olborn here on TNT.